I once heard someone say that words help us to think a thought, and that music can cause us to feel feelings, but that song can help us to feel a thought. Music is one of the most consistent aspects of worship throughout time and space. The earliest hints that we have of what worship may have entailed involved music. Nearly every culture around the world that has some form of religious practice, it seems that one of the most basic elements is singing. When we come together like this, as I said, we come together to find the meaning and to make sense of all of those pains and sorrows, those fears that are common to all of us, and also those great joys, to point towards the great not knowing. Perhaps towards that great something that cultures throughout the world have found names for. We come together to seek the best in ourselves and remind one another of who we want to be and what we can be together. And we come together to find a time to be still. And just as we do that, humans have always done that. In every time, in every place, in whatever name they called it, and to whatever name they called. It's one of the most basic parts of being human. And all of them, it seems, when they came together, they sang. They sang those things that they dreamed of, those things that they longed for. In our own tradition, we have a collection. We have two collections, actually, of those songs. And some of them are new. Some of them, especially in the Teal hymnal, are things that are bubbling up right now out of our collective consciousness. But some of them are very old. There are hymns in this book that date in some form or translation. There's at least one I know of that goes back to 1300. There are hymns in here by classical composers, hymns in here from the Appalachian Mountains, hymns that were created by our Protestant ancestors when they said, in violation of Catholic tradition at that time, that hymns should be songs that everyone could sing and in languages that they understand. There are songs of sorrow and liberation. And when we sing them, I think that we take those voices for just a moment into our mouths. And we take glimpses of their experiences and their hopes and longings into our hearts. And maybe they don't fit quite right. I think we've all found hymns as we've been singing where you flinch a little bit, maybe at one of the words, or it doesn't sit quite right. I don't know how many of you remember the hymnal that was before this one, but I grew up with it. Yep, Hymns of the Spirit. And I grew up with it in a very fiery humanist congregation in New Jersey. And I remember the day that one of our very feminist choir members recruited a couple of us to go through and tape little pieces of paper over all masculinizations of terms for God. The words don't always fit right. And sometimes they fit wrongly enough that we change them. And that's another funny thing in here. There are a few hymns, people notice this especially around Christmas, where in moving towards a more UU spirit and a different kind of understanding of God and the presence of divinity, we've changed the words. Sometimes it goes really well. And there's actually one in here that I'm hoping we'll sing in a few minutes that is based on Appalachian shape note singing. And the words have been changed, and I think it's actually one of the most successful adaptations we've got in here. And sometimes it's a little odd. There's a lullaby in here. Sleep, my child, and peace attend thee all through the night. And there's a line in it that traditionally says, while the weary world is sleeping. And I noticed that in our hymnal, they changed that line to, while one half the world is sleeping. A little literal, guys. But even with the quirks and the slight misfits, I think sometimes that these songs keep circling around the heart and the soul of what is most important to us, and what throughout generations people have been trying to find ways to point to and to name and to call for. And because of that, I think there's a magic in these hymns, especially when we sing them together. I want to invite you now into a hymn sing. And for a little while, I'm not going to talk much. We're just going to roll from one hymn to another. I have some in mind, but if there's something you want to sing, call it out. Bless Nate, he's willing to take it on.
Thank you. Thank you.
songwriters, and she's written several other things in our hymnals. And she wrote this. I think she said she had sort of a frustrating time. She was working on the women's movement. And she sat down and she prayed, and she said she prayed this hymn into existence. A few times people have tried to add verses or lengthen it, and she has always said, no, no, no. No, this is a prayer, and it's a prayer. Number 18 is called What Wondrous Love Is This? And this comes from shape note singing tradition in Appalachia, early American folk music. The words have been slightly rewritten, but it's still beautiful.
Thank you.
Gray hymnal.
Thank you. one's fun. That one's fun.
Thank you, Nate.
Amazing grace, the sound of the Savior. May some part of that joy, that longing, that history, that long, long line of people singing, may that burn in your hearts and lift your spirits and comfort your soul as you go out into the world. Go in peace and unrest. Blessed be.